All right, we're back with part two of the Jameel Gibbs interview I did. And so if you enjoyed part one, amazing. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel if you're not already. And this is part two, so hopefully you enjoy it. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanettes.
So let's dig into some real estate stuff, man. 50 states, man. You know, you're investing in 50 states. What sparked that for you?
Yeah, so we, at the beginning of, or at the end of 2021, we end up finding another mentor, Pace Morby. And so once I joined his
Shout out to Pace. I'm going to link the podcast I did with him up at the top as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, Pace, we've talked about Pace on our last podcast, like just a good human being. And he's built this really incredible community of real estate investors across the country. And I was like, I saw the value in the community in itself of like, man, there's people wholesaling in every single market and every single state you can possibly think of. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I was like, I wanted people to come to Montana. Right? I was like, you guys come to Montana. But then I started realizing that was, again, that was swimming against the current. So I was like, I'll just swim with the current. And I was like, hey, like, I'll come to you. And so when we decided to do this 50 homes in 50 states thing, like we obviously have certain criteria because most people are like, how do you do like you don't want to invest in California. You don't want to invest in New York. You don't want to invest in Illinois, like all these like not landlord friendly states. And of course there's like, there's ways that you can still invest in those states that you get around that. But the big reason why we're doing that is because we have a network of people where we have people who are like looking for deals in their backyards. They're in all these areas and they know the market. They know the area. They know the contractors. They know the insurance agents, they know everything. And so I could myself, I could go into North Carolina. I could go into South Carolina. I could go into Florida and I have to go like build these resources up. Or I go say, hey, Jameel, like you want to partner up? And you say yes. And all of a sudden I get access to your network. And to me, like and so basically like we changed our strategy from us owning the whole grape to now I just want a small piece of the watermelon and I want to bring in as many people as I possibly can.
Love it, man. You know, a lot of people overcomplicate virtual investing when that's really all it is just partnering with other people, or at least, you know, hiring someone that can be a team member who can build out the entire infrastructure for you. You know, but when you partner with people and they know that they're going to get a slice of the pie and you don't have to pay them a paycheck, they earn just like you earn. It's that much easier to build in all 50 states, man. So great concept, man. So what exactly are you buying in these areas? Like what type of properties and what's your investment strategy like?
Yep. So as far as the type of properties that we're getting across our desk, it really just comes like what comes across our desk and we're looking for cash flow. So ultimately I'm looking for a 30% cash on cash return at minimum. And that just is enough for us to like split up and go around. Right. And that's the reason why I look for that. And so we do short-term rentals. We have one property that's a corporate rental. We have some long-term rentals as well. And so that's kind of our criteria is 30% cash on cash. Any of the strategies will work. And I'm looking for experienced operators, or if we don't have an experienced operator there, then we basically will implement our management team into that area. So
gotcha, man. So you're doing short-term rentals. I'm assuming you're borrowing. Are you doing any wholesaling at all? Nothing. No wholesaling. Okay. So let's talk about how our listeners can kind of mimic what you're doing at the moment. So if we had to provide them with a step-by-step process, let's say 3 to 5 steps, what would be the first thing that our listeners would do in order to invest virtually in other markets in order to be able to buy and hold? Like what's some of the things that they need? What's some of the steps that they need to take in order to accomplish this?
Yeah. So it's funny to say that because like some of my partners on these deals are wholesalers, right? And so wholesalers, again, it just depends on their situation, but most people, while they're in wholesaling, they need that active income. And so I offer a unique proposition to them. It's like, hey, like you can still get some of that active income, but what if you maybe didn't take that active income on this specific deal, or is this a deal you wanted to hold? And instead of you getting an assignment fee, what if you just got equity on that deal? And so now you're playing the long game, which again, you and I are really much like, we're very much in congruent. Like that's the game you eventually want to play, is the long game and holding real estate. I was like, now you can create some cash flow. You create some appreciation. You create some equity, homie. Right. And so that's how I'm doing deals with wholesalers across the country is that instead of them looking for an assignment fee, now they're like, hey, I can get equity, right? And so it's not every deal that they're doing, because they always need to feed their family. They need to pay their bills. But if they find a deal that is like something that they really, really like, and they know the area, and it's in a good market, a good part of town, and like, I just need the money, that's when they would come to me. So if anybody's listening who's in that situation, like, that's how we provide value to wholesalers.
Excellent, man. Now, obviously, some of these deals are creative deals as well, where you can structure seller financing and subject to and things like that. Are you finding those deals frequently in different markets?
So our primary acquisition is still cash, right? Like, we still cash. Mm-hmm. We're very lendable, so we have access to lenders. But we do have a couple seller finance deals. I personally haven't got into a subject to deal that we've closed. I've had negotiations with them, but I personally haven't done a subject to. But we have a couple of seller finance deals, but some are cash. So again, it's not like we're not just dependent on creative deals. Right. I think a lot of times, especially inside Sub 2 specifically, is that because it's the creative, you know, it's the Sub 2 group, that people get excited when a seller is like, yeah, I'll do terms, and they want 50% down, and they want a $2,000 a month payment. So I'm like, dude, that's worse than I could get from the bank.
So yeah, that means they're not motivated.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure, man. So the first step would be meeting someone in another market that you can partner with, and you can do it with wholesalers.
Yeah.
What would be the second step?
Networking, man. So again, if somebody wants to, again, back to your original question, if somebody wants to actually do what I do, is it's just networking and connecting.
That's all this business really is, though, at the end of the day, right?
That's all it is. That's all wholesaling is, right? Like you're finding a seller who's trying to sell a home. You're trying to find a buyer, whether it be a fix flipper, a buy and holder, a homestead buyer, and you're trying to connect those two together, and you make your thing in the middle. Like, I'm just doing the same thing. I'm finding the seller, but then I'm also finding the money, which is basically your buyer in a buy and hold situation. And so I have a group of investors, just like you talked about, like going and networking, finding people who have money who don't have deals, and you connect the money to the deal, and then you insert yourself in.
That's right. And make a profit because of it, man.
It's wholesaling, you know? Except for instead of getting checks, we're getting equity, right?
That's right, man. I like to call that arbitrage as well, in a way.
That's exactly what it is.
Because you can, you know, that's exactly what it is, man. So you find your market, find your partner within that market, then you network, and then obviously the wholesalers, the partner is going to bring you some deals at the end of the day. What do you do next?
Yeah. So then once I have the deal, I'm like, hey, I think this is a good deal. Then I go to my pool of investors, and I already know what their criteria is. I know what their goals are. And so I'll go to the first one who I think it's the best deal for them. And I'll go to them and say, hey, I have this deal. What do you think? Right. And they'll be like, yeah. And then we talk about equity. And then basically it just comes down to negotiating equity for them. And then if I have to, I'll go back to the wholesaler and say, hey, we got to negotiate some equity on this, and we have a deal. Or if that equity partner says no, I go to the next one. And that's basically what I'm doing. I'm just trying to match the money up with the deal.
That's it, man. And create win-win situations, obviously.
Exactly.
So quick question, man. How much market research are you doing, or are you relying on the partner to be able to do that for you?
100%. Once the deal is closed, once it's like agreed upon, then I'll make sure, like, I'll go do my due diligence to just confirm everything and just make sure that everything is, that everything makes sense. But I'm really relying heavily on the person who's in the market. And so, like, to just put a little bit more clarification on that, people who are wholesaling virtually, I won't partner with them. And as an equity standpoint anyway, because I want them to actually know the market. I want them to have like boots on the ground. I want them to know the areas, right? Like, I'm really relying on their experience of being in that market. So I'm really relying on them heavily. And then I will I'll basically do my due diligence to confirm all their data. But ahead of time, I'm doing zero data.
Zero data, no market research, relying on your partners to be able to do it. So you're obviously linking up with experienced investors in other markets, especially wholesalers. Now, the benefit to the wholesaler is they get to close on a deal that they probably didn't know how to close on. So you're kind of bringing a certain level of expertise to the table as well, where you don't have to you're not going to tell a wholesaler everything, basically. You know, they know how to do is wholesale, and you're going to bring a different level of expertise, which is going to allow them to close a different kind of deal. Is that right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's almost like mentorship in a way that's like, hey, like, let me show you how to buy deals. And once you buy your first deal, even when it comes to wholesale, like when you wholesale your first deal, you're like, oh, that's not so hard. All of a sudden you buy your first deal and you hold as a renter, like, oh, that's not so hard. And so a lot of that is like, it's mentorship in a way that you get, that you're getting paid equity on.
It's like never giving away to connect, man. You can't give away to connect. You got to be the plug. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing too, is even like, they might know who the partner is, but like, who has that relationship? Like, the partner who's got the money, like, they trust me. And so that's that's like maybe a third thing that I'll talk about as well, is having some track record, having some credibility. You know, I've owned real estate for 3.5 years, again, not a very long time, but now we have like, we own 27 doors. And so like, we have some experience managing properties. And so I'm really putting my reputation on the line with the person who's got the money to say, hey, this person's got the deal. Like making that connection. And then my job is to make sure that everything goes smoothly. And if I have to step in on the management side, that we can step in and just make sure that the thing produces what it's supposed to produce.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. So you obviously figured out how to do this. Now, how quickly is your business growing? How do you feel like you're doing well, but how do you feel like, do you feel like now is a good time for your business? Do you feel like now is a good time to be in real estate in general?
Yeah, it's a very interesting time, right? It's very interesting. And the strategies will always continue to evolve. And the fact that we have creative options definitely allows us to continue to play this game. But if we were just dependent on cash, just depending on burr deals, like, I see that window narrowing like very, very quickly. So I think the creative finance side of it, doing subject to, doing seller finance, is huge. And like, you've been in this game, so you understand creative finance at a very high level as well. And that's one thing that Pace talks about, is like, now is the time when sellers can't just like name a price and get their number. Now is when they actually get to be. Now is when they have a little bit of flexibility. You're willing to negotiate. They're willing to be negotiated. And when you understand creative finance, you actually can make terms that actually make sense.
Yep.
So I'm excited for sure.
I asked that because a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom being talked about all on the internet and on the news and all, everywhere you turn, there's, you know, there's an inflation headline, or, you know, is now a good time to be in real estate headline. And, you know, a lot of people are being, you know, scared into not investing. But I always want to encourage you guys to know that how did Warren Buffett say, when there's blood in the streets, that's when you buy. Right. So right now there's a lot of scared people, and you don't want to be one of those scared people. You got to take action, because this is the time that you can build substantial wealth if you know what you're doing. And don't be afraid to invest into your education. I mean, obviously, you know, Logan, he understood the value of that immediately, and look how quickly his business has moved because of it. But some people, they look at investing into themselves as an expense versus an investment. And that's exactly what it is. You are your biggest investment. You are your biggest asset. Why not invest into yourself? Because somebody can take a house away from you. Somebody can take cryptocurrency away from you. Somebody can take stocks away from you. But guess what they can't take away from you? Experience. They can't take away what you know. And you can lose everything. You can make a whole lot of money. I did it twice, right? I built myself up. I lost everything, and I built it right back up because I knew how to do it. You know, so once you have an understanding, you can be broke physically, but as long as you have an abundance mindset, you'll always make your money back. And that comes with experience. That comes with the way you think. That comes with a lot of different things. But ultimately, it comes with investing into yourself, understanding that if you surround yourself with the right people, sometimes you have to buy yourself into these relationships. And that's what coaching is. I see a lot of people. I was just reading on one of Pace's his Instagram posts about coaching. I was looking through the comments earlier today, and you know, I do a lot of social media surfing. I play the, you know, I just sit back and I just look at stuff. I don't really comment. I don't, you know, do a lot on social media. But I'm just reading it, and it's just interesting the way some people think about investing into education. And it makes absolutely no sense to me. But, you know, that's, you know, everybody can have their own opinion. I just see things differently. But my point in bringing all of this up is, if you understand the value of investing into your education, you know, I have a coaching program. Logan has a program as well. If you understand the value of it, it can literally cut light years off of what you're trying to do. You're literally buying somebody else's experience and their knowledge. And you're, as long as you take that information and you apply it, how can you fail? I mean, there's really no way you can fail. Am I right?
Yeah, 100%, you know? Man. And now more than any time, like when there is blood in the water and starting to get bloody, now's the time where you want someone who you can reach out to and who's been through this, who's cleaned up the mess and who understands what's happening. And so, again, guys like you, Jamil, like people knew who investing in coaching, mm-hmm. guys like Pace, like people who've been through this game for many, many years and who have the experience and can skate to where the puck is going, not to where it is, right? The old Wayne Gretzky.
I like that saying, man.
One, yeah, saying, there it is. It's like that now is more important than ever, right? Mm-hmm. So important.
Yeah, man, for sure. So, listen, man, if our listeners wanted to contact you, obviously you're doing deals in all 50 states. You want to create partners, but I'm sure you're all, you know, I watch your Instagram stuff. Obviously, you're teaching people how to do this as well. If they wanted to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Yeah. Best way is Instagram, Logan Lee Manzanares. I'm on there. I respond to all my DMs. Everyone who DMs me, I always respond to you. So, yeah, that's the best way. If you have deals that you need underwrote, or again, if you have a deal or if you have money and you're looking to get into a deal, like, again, those are my two things. I take money and I take deals and I match them all together and we make sure that it produces babies.
For sure, every man. Single month. For sure, exactly. You know, I like to look at money like soldiers, man. Every single, or workers, every single dollar should be producing, should be working hard to produce more money for you, produce more soldiers, produce more workers for you. And if your money ain't working for you, then guess what? You're going to go broke. So, you know, so at the end of the day, man, you know, I'm going to link your Instagram in the description box. I'm also going to go ahead and link your YouTube. I'm telling you guys, if you don't do anything else today, listen to some of these origin stories that Logan has on his channel. It's a podcast that he runs called The Origin Story, and you have different entrepreneurs telling, not even going into the logistics of deals and stuff like that and how they do things, but more so talking about some of the struggles they went through in order to get to where they are. I think those are important to listen to because some of you are facing the same thing. And sometimes you need to hear that, you need to hear it, that you need to stay in the game. You need to hear other people's experiences who experience certain or similar things as you at this time in your life in order to be able to help you get over the top of the mountain. So listen to that podcast. I think it's a powerful, powerful podcast. It's going to blow up, man. It's definitely going to blow up if it hasn't already. And it's simply because of the type of podcast it is. It's going to help a lot of people, in my personal opinion. But definitely listen to my episode. Logan, man, I'm going to link all of your stuff in the description box. I appreciate you jumping on here, man. What books are you currently reading, bro? I know we talked about some other books before. I'll link all of those in the description as well. But what do you feel like is helping you in your business right now?
I want to say something about the podcast and in your podcast too. So when we were doing your podcast, we had to hear your story, and my co-host Sam, like, he really resonated with your story because he went through something very similar, right? And I think, again, like, those stories are so impactful. And as I go back to talking about, like, why did I get into real estate? What got me this idea to get into real estate? It was Rich Dad Poor Dad, which ironically has nothing to do with real estate, but it was all about stories.
Yep.
Right. And I think the stories sell, and that's my, like, stories have always been really big for me and something I found, like, really impactful. And so that's the idea of the origin story. But as far as, like, books I'm reading right now, I'm reading two books. They're up here. And one is The Power of One More by Ed Milet. That's a brand new book that just came out. I really like that book. And then Have It All.
What was that? The Power of?
The Power of One More.
Power of One More. Got it.
Yeah.
I got to check it out.
And then the other book I'm reading with that one is Have It All by Chris Crome. Mm. And so Chris is another mentor of mine who I've spent well over six figures with as well. Mm-hmm. And someone I'm like really close with. And his book just came out, Have It All. And it's definitely very much a tactical business book. An investment book as well. So
yeah,
definitely something I recommend people going through and understanding like how it fits your situation and applying the things to your situation from that book.
For sure, man. For sure. Shout out to Chris Crone too. He has a great YouTube channel. Definitely check it out. But something powerful you just mentioned. How much did you say you invested with Chris?
Over six figures.
Over six figures. Yeah. So if you had to take all of your education that you've invested in business and, you know, all of these different programs and mentorships and things like that, you're well into the six figures, obviously, right?
Double six figures.
Double six, look, double six, well into the double six figures. Now, this is totally off topic. Most people are afraid to invest that kind of money into themselves. When you invest that kind of money into yourself, what does that do for you?
I think how I rationalize it is when you mean like you and I are just talking, like we're sitting around and we say, what are our priorities, right? We say our family is our priority. We say our relationships are our priority. Mm-hmm. Our experience is our priority. We always like, we'll say money is last, right? But most people, they act as if money is their number one priority because like, I will do anything for money. And so once I had that epiphany, I was like, I say one thing, but I'm doing something mm-hmm. else. And I think the reason why you and I, have a good connection, even though we've only connected a couple times now, is because we're very much in something like me and Chris actually connect really well too, because we're people of high integrity. Mm-hmm. Like when we say we're gonna do something, we always do it, right?
Now the key thing, not to cut you off, it's one of my sayings, man. Always do what you say you're gonna do all the time, even if it hurts. Yeah. Do what you say you're gonna do, and everything will always work out.
It's something that's definitely a value of mine, and I know just by talking with you, it's about yours, and same thing with Chris as well. And so once I understood that what I was saying wasn't matching with my actions, I was like, oh, it's got to change. And so I was like, what is actually more important? Like, is this relationship with Chris more important than $100,000? You know, is it, Logan? Right? It's like, prove it. And so those are some of the conversations that I have when I go into investing into something, whatever it is. Like, what's more important in the situation? And not all the times, like, is that specific relationship or that specific thing more important than the money at that time? I'm not saying that all the time, but, like, it's just a good it's a good filter to look through.
Absolutely, man. A lot of times people just don't have that kind of money to invest, and I get it.
That's,
you know,
that's
what I mean?
Totally fair. Yep.
But if you're hungry enough, people can find money, you know. Or if the relationship is that important to you, if you feel like it's really going to benefit you, then people will find the money to be able to do it. It's amazing. People find the money to go to college. But when it comes to investing into something that can literally make them wealthy, they second guess it. You know, it's an unfortunate thing, but it's all part of programming as well. All you know, that's a whole nother thing we could jump into. But I believe that people are programmed to think the way they think, and they think from a scarcity mind. Most people think from a scarcity standpoint versus a position of power, because people are playing defense all the time rather than offense. And if you try to operate from a defensive mode, then you're going to be held back. But if you're playing on offense, there's no way to, what happens when you play on offense, you score, right? Which means you move forward, right? So, if you're playing on defense, you're trying to prevent. So I like to operate from an offensive standpoint and think abundantly, you know, think from a mindset. My mindset is just abundant. I think from a position of abundance. And people I surround myself with do as well, like yourself. You know what I mean? So I think that's really important, man. But you mentioned you invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into yourself. It hasn't fazed you not one bit. In fact, what did it do for your business?
Yeah, we definitely have made a lot more money from that money, right? It's been like, so ironically enough, and we didn't know this in like when we invested that money, but like how I was able to like basically create this system was actually a blend from what I learned from Chris, what I learned from Pace, and like some of my investors or people from that group I joined with Chris that have literally invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to get me into some of these deals that we're in now. So yeah, I mean, again, it's easy to say now, but
it's hard to do it in the beginning. How it happened. I get it.
Yeah. It's about faith. And really, I think this is actually the value as I think about this over the last about 5 years now, since I made that very first big commitment with Alex, is that when you invest into a mentorship, you think you're investing into Alex or Chris or Pace or Jamil, but you're really just investing in yourself, right? And you're investing in the belief in yourself. And so a lot of times you're like, hey, well, what happens if I don't get my money's worth? And so that ultimately comes from a place of not taking 100% responsibility and looking to blame rather than like, I will figure out how to make this worth $10,000. I will make this worth $100,000. And when you go into that mindset, like you cannot not win, because it's in your hands, not in Jamil's hands.
And that's why I tell people when they join my coaching program, I'm going to give you everything you need, but it's up to you to make it happen. I'm not going to do it for you.
Yes.
Right. When I didn't have a coach when I first started, but it took me years to figure out how to do this. And I made every mistake in the book that you can, any mistake you could think of when it comes to, I've made that mistake. So I feel like I'm qualified in that regard to be able to, you know, plus the amount of success I've received, you know, in exchange for the mistakes. I mean, the mistakes are, I would go through those all over again to have the same type of life that I have right now. It's incredible. Right. But, you know, it was up to me to make it happen. Right. I didn't have, you know, I wasn't relying on anyone else. I just relied on what my resources were to be able to make it happen. And part of those resources was willpower. So people ask me sometimes, like one of my mentors, Steve DiPalantino, no one knows who he is. He's not in, you know, he don't have a home study course or anything like that. He's just a local investor where I was living at the time. He said, what separated you from everybody else? Like why did it work out for you versus someone else who would go have the same stereotypical things attached to them? Like where I come from, you're either going to end up dead or in jail. You know, in Brooklyn, New York, I grew up in the projects, right? So you're expected to sell drugs. Not everybody. This is a stereotypical thing. You're expected to sell drugs. You're expected to end up in jail or dead, right? Or you're expected to go work for the city, New York City, right? Having some type of, you know, a $40,000, $50,000 a year job, right? Very few people ever make it out. So he asked me, like, what separated me? Why me versus anybody else? And a lot of it, you know, that's a whole nother story, whole nother podcast we could talk about, but a lot of it is mindset. I've always seen myself doing bigger things than what my environment afforded me at that time. You know what I mean? So I relied on me. I relied on what I, you know, I just had a bigger vision for myself than what my current circumstances afforded me. And if your vision is bigger than your current circumstances, it's kind of going back to what we were talking about before. If you can see past your current circumstances, if you're broke right now, you're not always going to be broke. Broke is temporary, right? Poor is a mindset. Poor is something that you, that's a lifestyle. You can't change poor, but you can change broke, right? So if you have a poor mindset, a poor mentality, then investing into yourself is going to be a big problem. But if you're broke right now, broke, remember, I said it, broke is temporary. Broke can be changed, especially when you have a mindset of abundance. So I just thought that was important to mention, man. I love the fact that you invested hundreds of thousands of dollars just to buy relationships. That's exactly what you did. You bought relationships. And I think more people need to learn how to do that, because more people would be successful if they did. Great call, man. Any last words for our listeners, man? What last words of advice would you have for them?
Man, specifically when it comes to business, is just, it's fun. And when you understand that the point is just to keep playing the game, and the only way you keep playing is if you find ways to enjoy it. And all of a sudden the dollars and cents and the assets and everything, like, they become things you keep track of just because you want to keep score, but like you want to continue to play the game because it's freaking fun. And that's what it is. And, you know, I wake up every single day excited. I really am. And if I'm not excited, I ask myself why, and I figure out how do I change that, whether it be immediately or if I need to put a person or process in place for just something that maybe I don't enjoy doing. But business is supposed to be fun. Like, that's how these guys play it for a very, very long time. And someone like you, the only way you're in this game for a long time is if you find ways to reinvent yourself, find ways to continue to play the game. And so that's my biggest piece of advice, is just like, learn how to have fun with it. Enjoy it. Put yourself around people. We talked about this the last time, like, put yourself around people. So we're not all by ourselves. So you're not thinking that we're like we got to like carry the whole mountain on our backs, that we find other people that we can share that mountain with. And it becomes way more fun when we do this as a team rather than trying
absolutely,
to do it all by
ourselves. Absolutely, man. Logan Manzanares, man. Listen, guys, definitely check him out on all platforms. We're talking about Instagram. We're talking about YouTube, primarily those two channels. If you just check him out on those, you'll gain a ton of value. He's releasing videos all the time. He has these in-your-face videos on Instagram, which I love. Reality check videos is what I call them. All of us need reality checks, right? So definitely check out those videos. Check out the Origin Story podcast on Logan's channel as well. I'm going to be sure to link all of that for you guys. Check out the description box for all of that information. And I'm going to see you guys on the next one. Peace.